This news story was written by Annie Gowan and Molly Hennessy Fisk. Class of 24 faces bittersweet college graduation amid ongoing protests. New York. Sam Nahens arrived at Columbia University in the fall of 2020 and spent the year taking classes online. Hardly the vibrant Ivy League experience he'd expected. Now he, like college seniors across the country, faces the prospect that the celebration of 4 years of hard work will be upended should commencements be disrupted because of student protests over the Israel-Gaza war. "I really wanted my parents to see me with that diploma and that cap and gown," said Nahens, 31, a New York native who is about to earn a creative writing degree. "I really wanted to do it for them, and I imagine that a lot of students are feeling the same way." It is indeed a bittersweet moment for the class of 2024, some of whose high school graduations were forced onto Zoom by the pandemic. From Boston to California, many are mourning the upset of these fleeting moments of their academic lives and how they are again bearing the brunt of international events outside their control. Protests over the bloodshed in Israel and Gaza, which began at Columbia nearly 2 weeks ago, have sparked a nationwide movement of dissent on campuses. More than 900 students have been arrested. College administrators are re-examining commencement programs in the wake of heightened security concerns, grappling with ways to honor students' right to free speech while ensuring safety. Even those ceremonies that go forward are likely to be more muted than in past years. At the University of Michigan, for example, graduates have been told that banners will not be allowed, and protests can be held only in designated areas. One institution has already announced a cancellation, and the news late Thursday from the University of Southern California triggered anger and dismay there. USC's decision to call off its main commencement on May 10th, an event that usually draws more than 65,000 people, followed an earlier decision to pull the commencement speech of its 2024 valedictorian, Asna Tabassum, who has publicly supported Palestinians. "I have never felt more discouraged, disappointed, and frankly furious," said Georgia Nolan, 21, a real estate development major at USC. "As a class, we did not get a high school graduation, and so receiving this news feels like a slap in the face. A shadow has been cast over what should be two of the biggest milestones in our early adult lives." Alex Orns, 22, a graduating senior studying theater, said the university's latest move felt like the path of least resistance. "It's like the school saying, 'Oh, you protest against us. We'll just cancel everything,'" she said. Ceremonies for USC's individual colleges are still scheduled, though graduates are limited to 4 tickets for family members. Orns has 6 family members coming to town for graduation, meaning 2 will have to watch remotely as she walks across the stage. "I'm disappointed, of course, but there's a part of me that thinks none of this matters in the grand scheme compared to what's going on in Palestine," she said. Others share her ambivalence or see opportunity. Jackie Campos, 21, a senior in sustainability studies at the University of Texas at Austin, considers both the pandemic and the Israel-Gaza protests as less of an imposition and more of a moment for her cohort of students to take charge. While in high school, she served on a group that managed a pandemic response. This month, she joined demonstrations on her campus in support of Palestinians, which on Wednesday ended with a mass arrest of 57 people. "We're not afraid to show our power," she said at one of those protests last week. "Having youth-led movements is what's going to ultimately lead to change." Campos turned out in part because of the excessive and unconstitutional police crackdown. Within days, the county attorney dropped all the charges, citing deficiencies in the documents submitted by police. The show of force spurred her to focus more on continuing the protests, as well as on getting UT President Jay Hartzell to resign for his role in the crackdown, than on whether the university would hold in-person commencement on May 11th. "We need to continue showing up," she said. On Friday at Columbia, mere yards from the ongoing protest encampment on its main lawn, students posed for pictures in their blue graduation gowns on the library steps. Some worried about what would happen to their graduation ceremony, for now scheduled to be held on the same expanse on May 15th. Rumors and theories flew. Would an agreement be reached in time to avert cancellation? Would the ceremony be moved to Yankee Stadium or a place off campus? On Monday, Columbia University President Namat Minouche Shafik said in a statement that the administration and the protesters had not been able to reach an agreement during ongoing negotiations. She urged the students to voluntarily disperse, saying the protest had become a distraction for those studying for exams. But she said she wanted to reassure the community that we will indeed hold a commencement, stopping short of saying if it would be held in its traditional locale at the heart of campus. The class of 24 has lived with disruptions since before they were born, said Teji Vijayakumar, 21, who's about to receive a bachelor's degree in computer science and visual arts. The student body president and her fellow classmates, members of what's known as Generation Z, came into the world in the months after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, which she feels has contributed to a collective anxiety. It's striking how little normalcy has been in our lives, she said. In high school, we started with Donald Trump being elected, then mass shootings, Black Lives Matter, #MeToo, and when we're about to enter the real world, COVID hits. We start college and Roe v. Wade gets overturned and now we're here. Here means a continued tent vigil on the Butler Library lawn, where students are calling for the school to divest its financial ties to Israel. Protesters with scarves obscuring their faces prepared snacks next to a fence dotted with red, green, and black Palestinian flags and signs that read, "Demilitarize education and justice for genocide." I think my age group is kind of used to this, Vijayakumar said. It would be different if you had a really idyllic childhood. That doesn't feel like what this is. Our grade is used to rolling with the punches, and that's a good thing. Nahins, a veteran who flew overseas drones for the U.S. Air Force, is ready to wrap up what he calls one of the toughest years of his life. He had long considered Columbia a refuge from post-traumatic stress diagnosed from his time in the military. Then came the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel, when militants killed about 1,200 and took hostages, prompting an Israeli counterattack that the Gazan Health Ministry says has left over 34,000 Gazans dead. Like other Jewish students on campus, Nahin says he has since endured anti-Semitic slurs. He suffered his first panic attack in 2 years last Tuesday and got through it by deep breathing and hugging his emotional support retriever, Ghost. Ever since October 7th, things haven't been the same, Nahin said Friday. He has heard the protesters' chants of death to America and death to Zionists and seen others, their faces obscured by keffiyeh scarves, filming him as he stood with counter-protesters and waved an American flag on the library steps opposite the tent encampment. There were other, more painful losses. Nahin's and a buddy had been planning to travel to a conflict zone like Israel or Ukraine after graduation and file dispatches from the war, Ernest Hemingway style. But the friend withdrew emotionally after the Israeli attack on a humanitarian group's food convoy in March that left 7 aid workers dead. Then Nahin saw that his buddy had posted a photo of the bombed-out aid car on Facebook and written, "Invade Israel, wipe it off the map." Stunned, Nahin texted his friend, "Do you think Israel should be wiped off the map?" "Yes," was the reply. He has grown closer to other friends, some of them veterans like himself. The silver lining is that you really figure out who your friends are during a battle like this, with a near war zone on campus, he said. In some twisted way, I'm a little bit grateful. Hennessy Fisk reported from Austin. Kyle Melnick and Joyce Coe in New York, Kim Belware in Chicago, and Hannah Nattinson in Washington contributed to this report.